Odyssey listeners, I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
And I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. You know, everybody has hidden talents.
For example, you might not have known that Jesse here has been in a waltz club with his wife for about 10 years.
Now, we're actually going to a ball tonight. And Bob, you have a hidden talent too.
You mean my uncanny ability to recite the alphabet backwards?
Really?
ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA?
Well, I didn't mean that, but that's really impressive. No, what I meant was that we heard at the end of this month's club adventure,
Alta C was written by Bob Smithhauser and Phil Lawler.
I didn't know you could write Adventures in Odyssey episodes.
Actually, I didn't either. And for a while, it looked like I wouldn't.
Well, we can't let this milestone pass without proper recognition. Let's hear the whole story. Bob, slide over to that other side of the table.
Okay, but why?
Well, we're getting your co-writer, Phil Lawler, on the line, and I'm going to interview you both.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to be host and interviewee on this podcast. Play that music. So, Bob, you've done a lot of writing over the years for Plugged In, Focus Magazines, The Adventures in Odyssey Club, and more. We even did a book together. Mm-hmm. And you've acted in several dozen audio episodes. But this is your first writing credit for the show. So how did you start the journey on working on the script?
With great fear and trembling. No, seriously, though, Jess, anybody who's listened to us on this podcast for the past 12 years, I guess, is they just know that we have a deep respect and admiration for the creative people behind this show. And, you know, I've always been a little in awe of what they do. And so I didn't have any ambitions in that department. But one day, Dave Arnold, as you know, he's my boss, executive producer. He said he really wanted me to try writing a script. It was, without a doubt, it was my toughest writing challenge, including the book that we did together. It was intimidating. It was frustrating at times, but I think it was one of the most satisfying things I've ever done.
So a story always starts with an idea. So where did the idea come from, and why did you decide to make it an ocean journey?
You know, as a kid, I grew up on the East Coast, you know, so boats and the ocean, that whole culture is really where I come from. In fact, one of the hardest parts about living in Colorado is it's just so far from the water.
Right.
Whenever I go on vacations, it's like the Oregon coast or Maine or someplace like that because I just love it so much. And I also grew up loving adventures at sea because, you know, you're really vulnerable when you're in a boat out in the open water. And sometimes you're dealing with the elements or, you know, the people on the boat have to rely on each other when things go wrong. And there's just something where you're kind of isolated, you know, and then forget about the fact that you don't know what may be swimming right underneath you. But there's just, there's this inherent drama there. And I guess I've always wondered what would happen if you put Wit and Eugene and Wooten, who are very different personalities, you know, in a situation like that. And that's really what made me want to go there.
Well, cool. You know, one of my favorite Odyssey episodes set on an island or around an ocean is Aloha Oi.
Uh-huh.
And in this particular episode that you wrote, you brought back Captain Quid, who I don't think we've heard anything from for like 25 years. So,
right.
So why did you do that?
Yeah, actually, that was Phil's idea. Phil, you want to respond to that?
Oh, yes, sure. Well, I remember we were sitting in a writer's meeting and Bob had pitched his show and the idea of his show. And we were all sitting around thinking, trying to think about the show itself, trying to think about the idea. And as we always do, we discuss these outlines and the shows and the pitches. And then I think Quid just kind of popped out of my head again. he was always a character that's been in the back of my brain. And I thought, well, maybe he can add yet a fourth element to this besides the three unique personalities of Wit, Wooten, and Eugene. Perhaps we can have a fourth element that's a random element that you don't really know anything that he's going to do. And then from then, lines just started popping out. And when they get laughs, then we put them in. And that's what was happening. So I think I was just basically started talking in Quid's voice. And that just sort of made things happen.
Yeah. I mean, originally, I figured that since Wit served in the Navy, he could captain the boat himself. But then when Phil said, hey, how about Quid? I mean, it was brilliant on a couple different levels. One being that it took me full circle personally, because the very first Odyssey show I ever had anything to do with was Aloha Oi. So that was kind of cool. It made the whole thing a little surreal, but it was really fun and meaningful for me. That was the one where the Barclays and the Rathbones went to Hawaii. It was a three-parter back in 1993. And I actually had a small part. Mark Drury pulled me in to do a voice, and I did that, and that was the beginning of my Odyssey adventure. So to be able to, you know, start the writing side of things as a writer with Quid in my head, it was a lot of fun.
Well, these writers' meetings sound really cool, especially if there's people speaking in voices. I like that. So as the...
Oh, we do a lot of that, matey. Absolutely.
As the ideas flow and you start outlining things, I just want to know, how similar is the structure of the final episode to what you guys kind of spitballed at that meeting?
Well, one thing I remember from those early notes is that instead of ratcheting up the tension, I would kind of create a problem for the characters and then solve it, and then another, and then I'd solve it. And that's just not the way to craft a good story. And what I needed to do instead was escalate the drama, you know, take things from bad to worse and just keep piling on, which is really how the final episode plays out. So it was good to get that feedback before I invested too much in all the details in the dialogue, because it really saved me a lot of work.
Right. And script writing, like magazine writing, like book writing, all of it, it's you go through all these drafts, and it's a long, long process. So walk us through the time from that first draft to when the episode goes for team notes, and then having to rework it. And it's difficult, it's painful, but in the end, it can be awesome. So walk us through that.
Well, you know, it took a long time. You realize this is about 3 years ago, so I'm going, going back. Because, you know, I'm always busy managing the club and creating content there, so it was kind of hard to get into script writing mode very often, and it certainly is helpful to just be able to block everything else out and kind of, you know, hear the voices of the characters and let the story kind of wash over you and form. And I found myself kind of doing it in fits and starts. But when I did, I think I started by mapping out the key moments that were going to ramp up the level of crisis on the boat, as I talked about. So, you know, each one needing to make that situation worse. See, in my case, I only had one setting. A lot of Odyssey episodes have to balance things going on in different parts of town. And or there's what we call like an A story and a B story that need to be woven together. In this case, it was more linear. You know, everybody was on the boat, and it was just kind of ratcheting up that action. So once I knew which dominoes had to fall in order to create, you know, this seemingly hopeless situation, then it was time to connect those moments with dialogue that helped it all make sense and give life to the characters. Anyway, that was my approach. I'm not sure what the best way to do it is. Phil, do you have a comment on that?
Well, you know, in scripting, there is a process that you want to go through. It's not a formula necessary, because you don't want formulaic scripts, but there is a process that you want to go through in the writing of them. And I think everybody goes through this process, whether consciously or subconsciously. We all kind of go through this process, and it really helps if you do go through it and go through it in the proper way. The idea behind it is that you really want to get that first little idea, that chunk of an idea, that really little bright idea. And if it can be as brief as possible, if you could tell your whole story within like a line or two, maybe two lines, that log line, then you expand that into a little more. You start, once you get that log line the way you want it, you start expanding it into, you know, a synopsis, a couple of pages, flesh it out a little bit more. And then it's, and it really is just a kind of a fleshing out process after that. Where do we go from there? How do we go from there? And you always want to make sure that your story has a main character in it, and that the main character wants something, and wants something really badly, and then you put obstacles in the main character's path to get toward that main character fulfilling their dramatic need. That's what we call it, a dramatic need, or their goal. And that is what makes for a compelling story. And so often we, you know, I've been doing this a long, long, long time. And quite often I forget that myself. And I have to go back and say, I'm wondering why this story isn't working. Oh, yeah, that's the reason why. I need to go back and start thinking in terms of what I've missed here, the basics that I've missed. And that's the only thing that I would say. I think Bob kind of had an instinctual idea about this whole thing. I think he was actually, his first draft was pretty good as far as that's concerned. But we just needed to tweak it as we went along. And that's what the notes process is all about.
Okay, yeah. So walk us through that process. You have the first draft, and like all scripts, you take them to the team for notes. And, you know, for most writers, getting their work critiqued and, you know, that sort of constructive criticism is the least fun part of the process. So how painful was it for you to receive that on your first script?
I was braced for the worst. Okay. So it really wasn't too bad. But as you know, Jesse, I've been on both sides of the copy editing process. So, I've kind of learned not to take that kind of criticism too personally. But it helps when you have a tremendous amount of respect for the people who are doing the critiquing. You know, God has blessed Phil and Kathy and Marshall and Bob Hoos and Nathan and Dave, I mean, all of them were weighing in, and they've got so much talent and experience. I mean, they tell stories at such a high level. People buy books and take classes to get the kind of education I was getting for free. So, right. You know, part of me is just blessed to be there. And I don't say that flippantly. I mean, I really did feel like any critique I was getting was just really rich with wisdom. And so getting that, and then also having comments come in that were really specific. So for instance, you know, it's one thing for somebody to say, well, this just doesn't work. And it's another when they come back and they explain why it's not working and what you can do to fix it. And that really did help.
Right. And at some point, the script was handed over to you, Phil. So is it uncommon for scripts to change hands, or is that kind of a common thing that happens? And how does the decision get made? Is that something that Bob does or executive producer Dave Arnold?
Well, it's not necessarily uncommon. We try to, on Odyssey especially, we try to let the original writer see the thing through to the very end. And that's usually what happens more often than not. But every once in a while, what will happen is whether we get somebody like Bob, who is a very talented newcomer to the situation, the script, we look at it as a team, and then we see maybe this needs to be just approached at from a little different angle that makes it work really well with Odyssey. And that's kind of what happened here. I think Bob was really on track about 80% of the script. It was really on track, but then there was just some things that didn't work. And we also have to be very well aware of the fact that, you know, a writer can get burned out on the script too. If we keep just coming back and saying, well, okay, yes, this works and this works and this works, but now go do this. And it's the endless rewrite syndrome. You don't want to get writer fatigue on a script that's just an endless amount of rewrites, because then the writer gets discouraged and thinks, this is never going to happen. I'm never going to get this finished. And so we wanted to be aware of that as well. And that's a really fine, delicate line that you have to walk with writers as an executive producer. I think Dave was the one who said, you know, Bob has gone really, really well with this script, but I think it just needs a fresh approach. So maybe you could take a look at it. And that's when he did hand it off to me. And I kind of looked at it and said, I think maybe here's what we need in the script. That was really how that kind of came about.
Yeah. And one big problem, if you remember, Phil, was that the script was too long. And I went to right. Dave and I told him that I'd kind of hit a wall after working on this thing on and off for about 3 years. It was basically about an episode and a half, but we needed to trim it down to one, except at that point, I'd pretty much lost all objectivity about it. You know, it's hard to cut lines or scenes that you really like, especially if, you know, you just it took you hours to write and rewrite. And then, you know, like you said, Phil, the rewrites can just pile up. And that's pretty much where I was. I needed somebody to make some of those tough choices that every writer needs, somebody on the outside to kind of bring that wisdom to it. I've told people it was kind of like flying an airplane, but when you reach the airport, you just keep circling and circling, but you're running out of gas and you just need somebody to land the thing.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's kind of how it felt. So Phil, thank you for landing the plane. I appreciate that.
Without crashing it. That's the big thing.
That's right. That's right. And fresh eyes and eyes with expertise really do help bring that plane in for a landing. I don't want to give away too much for the listeners who haven't heard the story yet, but there's a surprise at the end of this episode that wasn't in the original script. So again, without giving away too much, why did you decide to go in this direction, Phil?
Theme helps you focus in on what you really need to be including in the script and where the script needs to go and how you need to achieve the dramatic purposes of the script. So once we hone in on that and think, okay, well, that's what this is really all about and how that works in the context of Odyssey. And basically that was the approach that I took. Once I was able to get the theme that I really needed there, it helped focus in on everything else that needed to go and some of the things that needed to stay. And then helped me also kind of look at the surprise ending, the way this whole thing kind of turns out. So won't say what that ending is, don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the theme really helped me hone it down. And you're right, Bob, I do remember now, yes, it was long. You had really, really good material. That's the hardest part, I think, for any writer. You work very, very hard to try to get all the material together, and then you see, oh my goodness, this is way, way too long. And it's really like, you know, cutting up a prized possession. You have this really lovely thing that you've done, and now you have to take an axe to it and kind of chop it away and still salvage a portion of the story. And it's really, really difficult to do that. And just kudos to Bob, because he was willing to let that happen.
And inspiration for Odyssey can come from so many different places. And I understand that inspiration for kind of this story came from an email from Will Ryan, who plays Eugene. So, Phil, tell us about that email and how it affected the episode.
Well, it was a very smartly worded email from Will Ryan. All of his emails are wonderfully smartly worded. Will had written in and basically kind of asked about Eugene and the character of Eugene and where Eugene was going, what's happening with Eugene. And that was right as we were going through this process. And I thought, well, here's a good opportunity to kind of focus in on Eugene. Eugene's going to be one of the focuses of this story anyway. And so as Bob was putting together all the other characters, I thought, well, this is timely. It always helps for the actors to give us feedback and write us emails. And that was a very good email, actually, for Will to have written us. And it did. It helped the script enormously. And so I'm glad that Will did that.
And surprise, surprise, we actually have a certain person on the line with us.
That's right. Harlow Doyle, private eye.
It's Will. So Will, you got to tell us about that email that you sent with the subject line, "Whatever happened to Eugene Melsner?"
Oh, that's right. That was the subject line. And it was a question that I'd been asked. We did that boat tour last November,
mm-hmm.
and that's what everybody was asking. You know, why isn't Eugene funny anymore? And we just heard this episode and that episode, and Eugene used to be funny, and why isn't he anymore? And, like, people were kind of blaming me, you know? This past year, I started doing these comic book conventions. I've done a couple of them, and I'm going to be doing a few more. In fact, I'm doing one with Katie this weekend. And people who listen to the show come up and were cartoons, but they're asking me the same thing, and they're blaming me. So I thought, well, I don't have any control over this, so that's what inspired me to write the letter. So it was really from the fans. And so Eugene is in this episode, and he gets to be funny in this episode. And I don't want to give away the ending or anything, but when Harlow Doyle comes in and the two of them do those things together, it's which I won't describe, you know, it's very funny.
Apparently there have been even
sure
more rewrites.
I sure that wasn't cut from the final thing, because I just made it up just now.
Bob, getting back to you, you know, sometimes writers talk about their stories like children. And in your case, you'd been raising this child for several years by this point. And now...
Boy, you should have seen his face when we were recording it. He just got sadder and sadder and sadder to hear how we were all slaughtering it.
Yeah, okay. So, Bob, what was your
reaction
to the...
complete lack of understanding of what the words meant.
to Phil and to Will, to how the actors brought this to life.
I hate to disagree with Mr. Ryan, but no, I was not at all sad about the way that it was going in the studio. I thought it was great. I thought that what Phil did was terrific. You know, one of the signs of a great editor is somebody who can kind of preserve the vision of the person who wrote something and make it stronger in subtle ways. And in a lot of ways, that was what Phil did. Of course, the one radical change was the ending. We've alluded to that. My big rescue at sea had to go. And unfortunately, that was just one of those tough choices that we alluded to. But so here's what happens. Okay, I'm reading Phil's version of the script for the first time. And I get to the part where, you know, the storm is raging and everybody's scrambling above deck. And to this point, it's basically the story I'd been working on. And all of a sudden, how do I put this? You know, things take a very unexpected turn. And I'm like, what? And for a minute, Jesse, I actually thought the guys were playing a prank on me. I thought, you know, they're messing with the rookie,
yeah.
You know, and people who've heard the episode know what I'm talking about. But as I kept reading, you know, the ending just sort of unfolded for me the way that it does for our listeners. And I was really touched by it.
Well, it's really cool to hear about the writing of the episode. But before we go, let's talk for a few minutes about the recording. Phil, you've often been in the position of both acting and directing at the same time. But in this particular show, you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting since Quid is in the bulk of the episode. So how did you make that work in the studio?
Well, it's always difficult to do that. I enjoy it. I really, really enjoy both writing and directing and acting. And I love being in the studio. Love doing Quid, of course. He's a great character. And any of the other characters, too. And it's always a pleasure, of course, being in the studio with wonderful talent like Will Ryan and Andre Stoica and Jess Harnell. And that was just a sheer delight. So what also helps me out as well is to have a couple of great sets of ears in the booth. I'm in the studio recording with all these wonderful actors, but I needed another set of ears, a couple of sets of ears, to be able to find out if the recording is coming across right and if we needed to change anything, if we needed to retake anything. And those sets of ears are Nathan Hubler happened to be one of the sets of ears, and our wonderful recording engineer, Jonathan Crow, was the other set. And Nathan and Jonathan would be listening, which is what they're supposed to be doing, Jonathan especially, listening to everything that's going on in the studio and telling us if we need to retake anything or if things weren't coming across quite right. And so it really is helpful to have ears in the studio that you trust, especially when you're directing and you're acting in a show. You need to have a couple of good sets of ears out in the booth to make sure that things are growing the way they're supposed to be going. And I just want to say, from a writing perspective, by the way, And I think probably I'm speaking on your behalf, Bob, here, but I think I can speak for you safely here. The actors always bring so much more to the script than we ever even think about. I know for me, I finish my scripts and I sometimes think, well, this is good. This is a good script, but you know, I don't know, maybe it won't be as good as I think. Get into the studio and folks like Will and Katie and Andre and Jess and everybody else that we are blessed to have on Odyssey, just make it come alive. They knock it out of the park and they do it every time consistently. So I'm just thrilled to have them in the cast, to be working with them, and thrilled to do more stuff with Eugene Meltzner too. Yay, Eugene Meltzner.
Well, it is always a journey on Odyssey, and I know you're working on new stuff. So Bob, are you working on any new episodes?
I've been batting around some ideas. I'm not sure if they have what it takes to become Odyssey episodes, but if I've learned anything, Jesse, is that I still have a lot to learn. But, I'm surrounded by very talented people who are willing to help. They've been very encouraging, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, Bob, Phil, Will, it's been awesome having you on the podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
It was our strange pleasure.
That was a boatload of fun.
And talk about surprise talents. How about your ability to get Will Ryan on the line just by talking about him?
We should try that more often. I'd love to talk to Nathan Hubler right now.
Hello, Jesse.
That's amazing.
We'd better wrap this up before this gets out of hand. But first, did you know that Adventures in Odyssey is giving away a fun pack for the month of December? It's a great set of activities, games, devotionals, puzzles, and more. Perfect for those times when you're on Christmas break and looking for something to do.
It also has Christmas cards to give to your friends that include a free Odyssey episode download. That's all at witsend.org/free fun.
And don't forget that the Club Christmas gift set is still available through the end of the year. Sign up for a year of the Club and get the Adventures in Odyssey Bible free. And if you do it before December 10th, you'll be sure to receive your Bible in time for Christmas.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
You can get that fun pack at witsend.org/free fun or sign up for the club membership at witsend.org/gift.
Or visit the podcast blog at witsend.org/podcast. We certainly said witsend.org a lot this edition.
We sure did. So the only thing left to say is, I'm Bob,
Adventures in Odyssey scriptwriter and the man who knows everything from Z to A. And I'm Jesse,
the Waltz Master,
reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.